I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Calf.
Hello and welcome to Doing the Think Tank, the show where we come up with sketch ideas. I was thinking about changing the name of the show.
Okay, well, I think it's about time.
Yeah,
I mean, we're finally getting some brand recognition, but maybe this is the refresh. Would it be new?
Yeah.
Two in the Think Tank or Two in the Think Tank Two?
I think Two in the Think Tank Two is good.
Yeah.
I'd like to start a completely new like RSS feed, a completely new thing, just so that we don't have the burden of the existing listeners. I was thinking about the podcast.
The podcast.
Because you write ideas down on a pad.
That's true. But do you think we'd get a lot more accidental people who stumble on our podcast thinking that they're going to be listening to something for like menstruation products?
Well, I mean, that's the thing, isn't it?
Mm.
Where is the male perspective on menstruation?
That's true. And also, but that's, I'm not suggesting that that's actually what we would do. I think that's what we would just get accident people, you know, maybe also some podiatrists, maybe animal podiatrists as well.
Well, I mean, that's more pod, isn't it? You say because their feet have pads on them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. But, you know, that's okay. I'm really happy to do just like a quick, you know, at the top of each episode, just a quick little bit of, period chat, then a little bit of animal foot chat.
But I'm not suggesting that we change it. I'm just saying people will
But if those people are coming along anyway, I would hate for them to leave empty-handed. I'd like to give them a little something.
Some of them might be coming now. There's a chance that people are stumbling on our podcast now from any field.
Mm.
Because thinking.
Yeah. All right, well then, you're right. Let's do then probably a little bit of menstruation chat. Right now,
if we're promising sketch ideas, some people might be coming from the drawing world as well.
That's true. Okay, for those people, how about like a mountain, right? But the mountain is wearing a crown. King Mountain.
King Mountain.
Yeah.
Who do you think would be king of the mountains? Don't say Everest, because the kings are not crowned based on who is the tallest.
I'm going to tell you what I really respect in a mountain is a mountain that isn't a part of a mountain range.
Yeah,
I almost
stand alone.
I almost don't think of mountains in mountain ranges as being mountains.
Yeah, but you got
that's to me that's just a high bit of earth.
But royalty is usually about family.
Yeah, sure. I mean, well, then I'm happy for like a chain of volcanoes.
Okay.
Right? Because even then it feels like, you know, around like the Hawaii kind of scenario.
Yeah.
That each of those has had to build itself up.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then I guess I see what you mean. That's not really what royalty is about.
Well, you're thinking sort of more like self-made millionaires.
I guess. Yeah.
But then, you know, every system is problematic because, I mean, you'll just, you know, people will just accuse those volcanoes of having been fed that magma, that hard rock ground that they've got from, you know, the ground. It's just about sort of fault line privilege.
Yeah. I mean, is there such a thing as a self-made volcano?
Oh,
or is that just a myth?
I guess it's a mountain that has its own magma that was, you know, that's,
yeah.
Or I guess there could be a man who makes a mountain, you know, and maybe the man was, was born of vegetables that were grown on the mountain. You know what I mean? Like his family lived on the mountain and they, you know, ran agriculture on the mountain. But then
he didn't make the mountain.
Well,
that's a mountain made man.
Well, okay. Well, let's say it was a hill.
Okay. Yeah. So that's he started off with just a hill and then he was able to turn it into a mountain.
Into a mountain. He would go and get dirt from other places.
Mm-hmm.
At first it was just to, you know, because that's the old timey way of making a skyscraper is you just pile a bunch of dirt on top of each other to make the most of land, you know?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, this block is... of land. Well, what I want from this then is I want like Forbes, you know, how they release that, you know, self-made rich list sort of shit.
Yeah.
You know, I want them to also release a list. Like, why are we only caring about the people who have accumulated the most money, right? Yeah. I think things like height, right, you know, the self-made highest man.
Sure, like you know, tallest
it,
man.
It can be anything. Yeah.
Self-made tallest man, like a guy who...
Well, could...
became tall through surgery or whatever means, but it's about him doing it without like a team of doctors.
Exactly, doing the surgery on himself. But like, you know, so for the highest man, that would be who has in you know, in any given year or at any point in their lives been able to accumulate the highest pile of stuff to stand on top of. You know, they could do one about the deepest man and who has been able to dig the deepest hole.
Who was you know, deepest at the time of writing?
At the time of writing, yeah.
You'd have to time your digging.
You know, wettest.
Now, Andy, just out of curiosity,
this
wettest
is a
man,
sketch idea.
Wettest man, would he just be a man immersed in water?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not, because you can't, like, there's no way then that you can have degrees of that. That's an absolute stake.
Well, that's right, yeah. But then you're just suggesting the guy who's wearing the most absorbent clothing.
Yeah, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah. If he's able to get all of that moist at the same time.
Andy, of course the maximum wet is just a guy who's immersed in water.
Sure, but then that's not going to be interesting.
I know
that issue of the magazine.
Well, I reckon that he'll have to split up the episode, the magazine, and you're worried about Forbes here.
Yeah,
but this could just be Forbes wet, you know, which this is exactly what people read it for.
I think that's a really great. I want that magazine to exist.
Forbes wet.
Forbes wet, and it's the same sort of look and, you know, seriousness of Forbes, but instead of being about wealth and money, it's about wetness and who how to get it and what it's like to have it.
Why not stand? You know, this is like an article about. Well, I used to be quite dry. Actually, my feet were particularly dry.
Mm.
And then one morning, I was walking along the concrete. Very early on, I was going to go do my morning search for liquid, and I came out of my house and I was bringing out the bin, and I had to run across the lawn when I encountered sort of a slipperiness on my feet, a cold slipperiness. And I thought, what is that? That strange sensation that is leading to my feet becoming of a lesser temperature and friction. And I looked down and it was water. Apparently, it's what's known as morning dew. Anyway.
Yeah.
And then he goes into the science of it.
Yeah. I mean, what this has made me think of, so I think that's a sketch idea, Alistair. Forbes wet is absolutely a sketch idea. But what it's made me think of is, you know, people are always moisturizing, right? people are always applying and reapplying moisturizer to their bodies.
Was it on pod that we started questioning whether or not I've started questioning whether moisturizer does anything.
I don't know if it was.
It might have been in a bonus pod, episode or something.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like something I don't believe in. You know, it's the kind of thing that I can get on board with saying I don't think it does anything.
Yeah,
I certainly don't like the way it feels.
Yeah,
so even if it does a little bit, it's not going to be worth it.
Because if you were having a bath, that wouldn't be a way of, you wouldn't say, yes, I'm just moisturizing my skin.
Yeah, well, no, I would.
You would say that?
But that's kind of where I'm going with this, Alistair, is that like if you want your body to be moist, we should come up with a kind of a suit, right? And what it is kind of a sort of the opposite of a wetsuit, but just allows you to sort of wear this thing that is full of water.
Yeah.
Right. And what it has to be sealed around your mouth.
Yeah.
And maybe around your eye holes, right? So that your eyes and your mouth are exposed to the air, right? So that you are able to just breathe normal air with the people around you. But every other part of your body is submerged as you walk around. So it's filled up with water and you can...
Wait, is this like that jacuzzi suit that Milhouse's mom wears?
Yeah, I guess it is. I guess it is.
Are you just inventing the Van Houten jacuzzi suit?
Yeah, but I think this one also covers the head.
Okay,
importantly.
Right.
Importantly.
And so you just have a hole for your mouth. Yeah.
A hole for your mouth.
What about the eyes? Is there a hole for the eyes, or do you constantly look through?
If you were listening to me about 30 seconds ago, yes, there's also a hole for the eyes.
Sorry, I wasn't actually listening.
Yeah, no, that's okay. You were. Were you Googling?
Is moisturizer
Simpsons?
A scam?
Yeah, and any word on
well,
that?
Well, first hit was dermatologists say that most moisturizers or skincare products are kind of a scam. But then I hit a wall. I hit a wall. Lotion is a scam. I think. Yeah, I'm. And then there's a Vice article that says nearly everything you know about moisturizer is bullshit. I think this is it. I think the skin doesn't become moist from the outside. I think the whole point of skin is to stop the penetration of things from the outside staying permanently within the body.
Yep.
Right? And so the only way to moisturize your skin is to drink water, I would suggest. Maybe lots of coffee.
I think a big bottle of, you know, of water that is the real moisturizer could be a thing. Could be a thing. I mean, if you want, you can rub it on the inside of your mouth. How about that? You squirt the water.
Yeah, I would like, that's a better way of drinking water for me.
And then you
to carry
rub
around.
It around.
It's a little bowl that you buy from 7-Eleven with with sort of like one of those like yogurt lids on the top.
Mm.
Of that, and you peel that off and you just dip your hand in it like that, your fingers in it. And then you rub the water on the inside of your mouth.
You scoop out a little bit of water.
You just kind of dip your fingers in it, and some water will cling to your fingers like that, and then you just rub it on the inside of your mouth like you're sort of finger painting inside your own mouth. And I really picture my hand is kind of doing like big like semicircles, like it's on a skateboarding ramp, and it's going like that. Sometimes even I rub it. Sometimes I'll get another dip, and I'll rub it just on the top. On the top gums there, the top palate.
Yeah. I mean, that's really nice. Maybe even you've reached out back down your throat just to sort of the point of gagging almost and rub a little bit of moisturizer.
Yeah.
By that, I mean water back there.
Because it would make sense.
Because you've got to get it all the way back.
It would make sense that people would think moisturizer works because your thing, the thing that you've moisturized feels wet after you put this wet substance on it.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's an illusion.
I think that's an illusion.
It's a trick of the mind.
I don't think it's long-term moistness.
No.
But then again, water.
Yeah, and if it was, yeah. I don't think I'd feel good about that. I don't think I'd feel good about the idea that stuff that I rub on the outside of my body just goes into my body.
Yeah. But then again,
you know,
it does go dry eventually. So that's got to be going somewhere.
Yeah, probably just rubbing off onto stuff, I think.
Yeah, but...
Door handles and...
Well, Andy, would you be able to do a test for me tonight? You got
right, what would you like
your night
to
is
do?
Free, right?
Yeah.
This is just... If you're laying in bed, let's say on your phone later tonight, do you think there's a chance that might happen?
I can't imagine that happening.
No?
I can't imagine.
Could you lift up your shirt, whatever your sleep shirt is, right? Mm. And do you think that your beloved might have some moisturizer, or you might have some moisturizer?
My beloved has so much moisturizer.
Yeah.
And so many abandoned moisturizers as well.
Could you grab one of those abandoned ones? Although it probably is good for you to get a freshie just so that we can be sure we got some good stuff. It hasn't gone off in some way. Right?
Yeah.
Just this one. And then I want you to just put a little squirt on your belly like that. Mm. And give a little, just a little rub just to spread it. So it's like maybe like, you know, a millimeter thick or like a, you know, like 2 mils thick or whatever.
Yeah, nice.
Even like, you know, even go 3-4 thicker than you think it should be able to absorb. And then just wait it out. I don't know. Maybe you could look at your phone while you wait. And just see if it does get absorbed.
Yeah, no, this is a great idea, Alistair. And you know what I really like about it?
Yeah.
Is that you've built into the testing procedure.
Yeah.
Phone looking time.
Well,
which
I feel like that's something so you would often, love.
Yeah. So often experimentation doesn't work out. You know, these sorts of new ideas don't take off because they don't factor into them people's real lives. And, you know, my real life involves a lot of looking at
my
phone.
Do you think that you would have a multimeter in your house as well?
Yeah, I've got two.
Yeah. Do you think that if you tested whatever the length of skin that you're going to moisturize, do you think if you tested its electrical conductivity, maybe its resistance, I think you could do that with a multimeter. Do you think it would go down once the skin is wetter, is moister?
The resistance would go presumably down. Go down.
Yeah.
Yes.
So.
Yeah. That could be a good way of testing it.
Yeah. But do it after it's like it no longer feels wet to the touch.
Yep.
If it
and
does.
And then we'll be able to
see whether the moisture's on the inside or whether it's kind of just left and gone into the air or something.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'll do all of that, Alistair, and I'll get back to you.
Could you take photos
on the next episode? Yeah.
Take photos of your belly for us. And maybe, you know, with the multimeter there.
Yeah.
Could you? And then photos maybe of you on your phone. I don't know how you get a photo of that.
Yeah, I'll see if my beloved can take a photo of me on my phone.
Yeah. If you she has to use your phone, maybe like at least just hold like a little piece of wood to make it look like you're looking at your phone.
That's
Do you have any like loose bits of wood around your house?
Alistair, you know what I do.
Yeah, great.
Yeah.
You know what occurred to me while I was talking? This is something, you know how sometimes you think I don't listen to you? I also don't listen to me. And I sometimes think of other things to say while I'm saying things. You know that device that you invented, the jacuzzi suit from The Simpsons?
Yes.
But that also goes over the face with the holes for the eyes and the mouth. Did you have a holes for the nose? Yep. I also wasn't listening for that.
I didn't have holes for the nose, no.
But it would be nice to have just little holes for the nose, though. Wouldn't be.
Okay. Yeah. That's cool.
Anyway, I think that what you invented there is reverse goggles. Do you think? Almost?
Well, not really.
Okay. Reverse scuba suit.
Again, not really, because once again, I mean, the water is kept away from the eyes in that situation,
yeah,
which was also what my suit was doing. So it's quite similar in that way. I mean, a reverse scuba suit, I think, would be a thing that goes over your eyes, nose, and mouth and just fills with water, right? So I that mean, you can drown on land.
I think there's possibly two opposites here, because I do agree that you are correct there, that those goggles would allow you to dry on land. The reverse goggles for the reverse scuba suit, scuba mask for drowning on land.
I think that could be a sketch idea.
Yeah, no, I'm writing it down.
So, I mean, would basically what you would do is you would put it on while you're in the water, right? And then you would sort of do that little backflip tumble that they do.
Yeah.
You do it up onto a jetty or onto a boat.
The beach or something like that.
Yeah. And then you...
standing in the shallows.
Lie there dying.
Yeah.
Basically on the dry land.
Yeah. Would you sort of be face down in the water and then flip out onto a sitting position onto the land or the boat and then drown whilst in the sitting position?
Yeah, I think so. I think so, sitting up and drowning.
Yeah.
You know what would be another great idea? Because people love being able to go to a World Heritage site like the Great Barrier Reef and paddle around, snorkel around, taking in its natural beauty. But, you know, the Great Barrier Reef is dying. It's not going to be around forever. So it'd be great to be able to snorkel around other attractions.
Yeah.
Like, for example, you know, the Colosseum in Rome. So I think in order to be able to do that, all you'd really need would be like a glass swimming pool or bathtub on wheels.
Or Andy, maybe. Or maybe sort of a Van Houten jacuzzi suit with the Andy Matthews face mask, right?
Yeah.
And then on top of that, you put some scuba goggles and a scuba pipe.
Yep. So you could walk around, but you're snorkeling.
You're snorkeling, yeah. Because you're in the water.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's great. Well, my version was going to be you lie in the bathtub full of water.
Yeah.
And, you know, you basically are snorkeling in there. It's glass, though, so you can still see everything, right? Yeah. And then, you know, I guess a tour guide or whatever pushes your bathtub around the Colosseum.
But it'd be nice to not need somebody else, because sometimes a trip can be expensive enough, you know. And let's say you've gone all the way to Europe to see the Louvre.
To snorkel around the Louvre.
and then you get
they've
there.
They've got to bring this in. They've got to bring this in. I mean, some fucking artist. You know what fucking artists are like?
Yeah.
They're always looking for some shit. So bring this in at the Louvre, right? And it's a fucking glass bathtub. You can have 6 or 7 of them down there near the counter. And the art, your artwork, your installation is allowing cunts who come along to fucking snorkel around the fucking Louvre. You know, and then you win some prize. It's going
to
be
Andy, that's how easy it is to win prizes.
Yeah, it is. It's so easy.
Yeah.
You know, you haven't seen the Mona Lisa until you've snorkeled it.
That's right. Yeah, you're looking through your little eye holes that are not. Don't have water in them.
Yeah, they're a bit fogged up.
Yeah, oh yeah. And then the beauty of it was that you will, without leaving the water, you'll be able to pull your mask down and spit into it, kind of rub it in there. But then you won't be able to rinse it out in the way that they do in the, you know, when you breach in snorkeling or whatever like that, you know, when it gets fogged up. And then you can sort of just scoop some seawater in there. You won't be able to get any of the seawater out. To get it
well,
in there.
That's in your version.
Yeah, what's your version? Oh, yours. You're in the bath.
Mine's with the bathtub.
Yeah,
I like that. I've been talking about my version for a while, and you haven't changed anything that you're picturing in your mind.
Yeah, no, because I just can't. I can't justify
yours.
I can't justify the extra expense of paying a Frenchman to push me around the Louvre in a bathtub with an open top, which they will not agree to.
You reckon?
Yeah, yeah. They're not going to agree to a big amount of water being sloshed around all this priceless art.
In the Louvre. Yeah. Oh, well, I don't know. I'm going to have a fair bit of clout as an artist, probably, once I've won those.
But then you're
going
to have to go out. Because of that clout, you're going to have to go after hours and... You know, you won't be able to do it because it'll be a threat to people walking around as you splash around a corner.
No, the threat is part of the art, part of what gives it its edge.
No, that's not for me.
Yeah. There's a guy behind me pushing a shark in another bathtub.
Really? That's good, actually.
Yeah.
Well, in my version, there's just a shark wearing a scuba suit.
Yeah. Okay. Flopping around.
Yeah, and he's also wearing like a proper scuba mask that pumps water into his lungs.
I wonder what mine says. I wonder if mine is a comment on rising sea levels or something like that, or something to do with our neglect of the natural world.
Yeah,
I mean, it's interesting. It could be saying all sorts of things. I'm looking forward to finding out.
Yeah, well, I mean, it could have something to do maybe with seeing things before they're gone. It's probably still about the Great Barrier Reef, you know?
Yeah, it's true. That's good. So the Great Barrier Reef is getting bleached. Some people find that makes things more attractive. So that's, you know.
Things being bleached.
Not all bad.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, it can be very nice. Yeah? I mean, I think some people get the hair on their face bleached so that you can't see it.
Yeah.
I guess that's like with you. So, you, as a blonde person, people can't see your hair mostly.
Yeah, I feel like we talked about this last episode.
Yeah, there's a possibility. I know. It's just, I'm still shocked. I had never, every time I've pictured you naked, it's not involved you with darker hair. It's always involved you with darker hair.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's just more ginger, I would say.
Oh, right.
Around the key areas. And then the rest of the place, it really is that transparent, you know, optic fiber that we were talking about on the previous episode.
I've just Googled nude blonde man just so that I can... But all these guys have severe abs. And
yeah.
Yeah.
Probably they've shaved.
Oh, you know, I guess a lot of them have shaved. Yeah. Oh, look, this guy's just bleach blonde, so he's,
I think I'll just have to send you some nude snaps, Alistair.
No, it's okay. It's okay, Andy. We don't do that on this podcast. A lot of these men seem very attracted to other men.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's great.
Is that a blonde thing, or?
It could be. Could be. Gentlemen prefer blondes. It's never said if they were other what if they were other gentlemen that they were preferring.
That's true.
Which I thought was very progressive.
Now, Andy.
Of it.
You know what's always nice?
Mm.
Is when like because it's more rare is when guys' nipples show through their shirt.
Is that more rare?
I don't know. Is it?
I don't think so. Well, I think that happens to me a lot.
Right. I just assume that most guys' chests are not as prominently pressed up against their shirt.
Yeah, but also, I mean, women wear bras a lot more of the time, right?
That's true.
So there's that extra padding.
That's true. You're right.
You know, to conceal that there.
Would you?
Let's look a little bit more at men's chests. Let's resolve to do that and try and get a more, a more clear sense of what's really going on out there.
Would it be too stupid for men to start wearing caps that say "My nipples are down here"?
Well, would it work on a cap?
You don't
think
so?
I think it would have to be t-shirts.
Right? What if it said down there?
Down there. Okay, that's a good edit.
Yeah.
I think that'll work.
I mean, I've only had to add a T.
Yeah. No, that's good. It's not too bad. I'll be able to get that. I'll get that through to the printers.
Before they print?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Pardon me with that.
We're going to print today. There was something that we were just talking about, Alistair.
The Louvre.
What was it about? No, it was about that. It was in the line of naked men, and their nipples,
preferring blondes, or the bras.
Yeah.
The
men. No, that's what it was. I was thinking about, Marilyn Monroe, and obviously that iconic image of her walking over the grating,
yeah,
and the air blowing up her dress,
yeah,
and I think it's a shame that there isn't a similar version for men. And I think that's because it's harder to do with pants.
Sure. Right? But
pants don't tend to blow up in
parachute
pants.
That way. I think MC Hammer should have done it.
Parachute pants maybe would have worked. But I'm thinking that if we want like a man, because what it is that frisson of like that danger of, are you going to see the sort of the undergarments or something like that?
Yeah.
Right. And to really get that happening for men, I think he's either going to have to walk across some like quite intense flame that burns his pants away, or maybe some kind of acid that squirts up and dissolves the pants.
Okay, yeah.
And then you sort of pose coquettishly there over one of those open acid squirting vents.
Could it
as the pants
could
dissolve.
It be sort of like a fireman's hose?
Squirting up from the ground.
Yeah.
But what's that going to do to the pants? I still don't see how that removes the pants.
Well, it will push the pant leg up. And you know what? I was thinking about shorts. I was thinking about nylon kind of like, running shorts or something like that. And then, it exposes all the netting.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Suppose that kind of netting undergarment. You go. I guess you're going to find out whether I'm wearing a proper undergarment as well under this netting.
I mean, yeah. For me, I think I can imagine the fire hose working if the water squirts up into the pants.
Yeah.
And fills up the pants so much they become big swollen pants.
Yeah.
And we basically like. They're on the brink of completely exploding with the pressure.
Yeah.
They start to bust open like that. And that gets me to the same point of, oh, that's just as exciting there of the risk factor of being exposed.
Yeah. I guess a kilt would have really done it.
A kilt, of course. Of course a kilt.
Andy, is this a joke to you? This is something a guy used to tell as a joke and when I was in high school or maybe after high school when I would hang out with him. But it was something about like, it was a Scottish joke. Well, it was, the characters were Scottish. I don't know if it comes from Scotland. But it was basically, and I apologize. I'm probably going to do a little bit of a Scottish accent or at least an attempt. But, it was a lady and a man, and they call him a lass and a laddie.
Mm.
And I think maybe the lady says, no, I've gone with laddie and lady, but I'm going to say the lady and a man and a lad. Fuck, no, a lady and a man. All right. So the lady says to the man, she goes, oh, you want to hug me, don't you? Something like that. And then he goes, aye, but how'd you know that? And she said, oh. And she had a reason, right? I can't remember what the first reason was. And then the second was, and then the second one was like, ah, but you want to kiss me too, don't you? And he goes, aye, but how'd you know that? And she goes, oh, I can see because you're licking your lips. Like something like that, right?
Mm.
And then the third one was,
that's what I do when I want to kiss someone, by the way.
That's right, yeah. And then she goes, ah, you want to fuck me, don't you? Like that. And he goes, aye, but how do you know that? Something like that. And then she goes, ah, I could tell from the tilt in your kilt. Something like that.
No.
Do you think that's enough of a punchline? I always wondered whether it was questionable.
I really don't think it is.
It's from the tilt in your kilt.
I'm quite disappointed.
Really?
Right? Well, unless the other things rhymed, right, so that there was a pattern and there was like an extra level of expectation or something. But I don't think there's – I think there's almost nothing there.
Because of a flip.
Right?
Because of a flip of your lip like that.
Yeah. But even then, I'm really left wanting. Okay. I mean, the kilt seems like there's so much potential.
Yeah.
Comedically.
Yeah.
In it. It's one of the funniest garments. But I don't see that any of that potential was realized in that joke.
Would you say it's the funniest because you don't believe that men should wear dresses?
I think because it's non-conventional at this point still for men to wear them, but also because the kilt itself has a bit of an inbuilt seriousness to it that is fun to undermine.
Yeah, that's true. You
know? And I realize it's been done a lot. It's no longer really surprising to see somebody in a kilt and then see them exposed in some way.
Do you think it would be funnier to see somebody at their wedding sort of dressed as Goku from Dragon Ball Z?
Now I don't know who Goku is from Dragon Ball Z. I'm sorry.
He kind of wears like
Does he wear a dress?
No, not a dress. He just kind of wears like an orange kind of bodysuit with a blue sash around as a belt and a kind of a little blue undershirt with quite a wide O neck. And maybe an elliptical neck like that. And he's kind of got big boots, big blue boots. And each one of them.
Look.
Would you say
that could be something?
Would you say a Goku? Sure. He kind of looks a little bit like a monk, but a fighting monk, I guess, in a way. But
now I'm just going to put this out there, Alistair, and I don't know if you wrote down anything about our a man getting exposed by having acid or fire squirted at his legs.
Sure,
but I think there is a sketch idea there with a young male celebrity's team, or not even young, just a male celebrity's team trying to arrange a viral moment like the Marilyn Monroe one, but that it involves having his pants burned off or acid melting them away.
Sure,
I think that has a enough in there.
Or a big fire hose? Do you think that's got enough in it?
Look, I think a big fire hose could work as well. I'm going to need a few more diagrams. I don't really think it works quite as well if it's shorts, because there's not that subversion of expectation as much there.
I think there is. I think if you got short shorts, real stubbies, and there's just, even if it's just the air and they puff up. And suddenly, almost immediately, there's a visible testicle.
Yeah, okay, all right, that's funny. You did it.
But obviously they're trying multiple things, Andy. This is about a team trying.
Yeah.
This is about, it's about a team who believe in something, but then fail. And then we can laugh at them for even, tempting to risk putting themselves out there, then maybe we can follow them home with the sketch and see how that sadness affects their home life.
Well, but also I'd like to see them, persevering and then ultimately succeeding.
That's right, starting again the next day, maybe with another client, because they probably would have lost their client from all the acid burns that they caused to them.
But then they go and they achieve that beautiful moment of that public exposure of that testicle.
That's right.
We see the paparazzi snapping away.
Oh yes, that's right. And amongst the sort of the acid wounds, pops out a fresh, unburnt testicle. and for that one moment before the acid has covered it and sort of started dissolving the skin, that that's the moment that the cameraman captures, that moment that will live forever in the hearts of anybody who buys gossip magazines.
Yeah,
depending on whether or not they do have hearts.
Yeah, well done. How many sketch ideas have we got, Alistair? Not that I'm putting any pressure on you.
Oh, there's four.
Four. It's a good number.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Are you have time pressure, Andy?
No. I mean, you know, in one way I'm supposed to be doing other things right now. But in another way, this is where I want to be. And
it's really nice of you to say, Andy. I appreciate that. And I think all the listeners appreciate you being here today in this moment.
Thanks.
And you taking time away from your family to do this as well.
Always. But, you know, I'm always taking time away from my family to do anything.
And,
you know, even my extended family, taking away from my time away from my extended family, who I could be visiting right
even
now.
Even spending time
and
with your family.
I could
family.
Be researching my ancestors.
Even spending time with your family, in a way, is just an opportunity to be mentally distant from them, you know, whilst you look at your phone or whatever. You know, and you're right there, and they could see that they could spend a proper moment with you, but you're actually still miles away, keeping up to date with what the local politicians are up to and things like that.
Yeah, just reading the tweets of people that you loathe on Twitter. Just seething, just that opportunity to be exposed to just some of the most vile and infuriating sentiments that you'll ever read, and then close your eyes and try and go to sleep.
What do you think is the
the
closest that you could be to people physically, and the furthest away mentally you could be?
Well, obviously, there's lovemaking.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, that's a
sure.
That's a big thing.
Yeah.
But
true.
You know, there's probably in terms of emotional intimacy, there's probably greater things like comforting somebody who is grieving
whilst having sex with them.
Whilst having sex with someone else.
But I'm saying, like, you know, you're comforting somebody who's grieving by having sex with them. This is the comfort that you guys are falling into. But then mentally, where are you? What's the furthest away you could be mentally?
Yeah. Yeah. Let's
groceries.
See. Watching a video. I've been watching a lot of videos of people repairing old tools.
What about,
you know, like restoring them?
Do you think by being physically far away in your thoughts, that would put you mentally far away? Like, let's say you were thinking, you were contemplating the edge of the universe. Do you think that would put you as far mentally as you could be?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you were trying to solve some of those great riddles of time and space, you know, if you're pondering, a grand unification theory or something like that.
You're just sort of making it useful. Like, do you ever imagine what it's like to be dead? I think I do it all the time, and then I have to, like, remember that I'm alive still. Like, I picture what it's like to be dead, what the darkness feels like.
I don't picture that at all. What I do picture is popping my head off like a cork.
Really? You picture that a lot?
Yeah, a lot.
How do you picture the actual thing happening?
Like just getting yanked off by something.
But
like a chain or a rope or a branch of a tree or something like that.
Let's say it's a chain. It's wrapped around your neck, and then each bit of the chain is attached to like a horse and carriage or something, or like two trucks.
Like that. Yeah, yeah. And then it gets yanked, and it really does fly off.
Yeah,
really. When I'm picturing it, it's really got to get quite a bit of height for it to give me what I need in that respect, which is, you know, this is a way that I break myself out of uncomfortable thought patterns or something like that. This is my
this is a kind of something to ease the mind, to focus back on something pleasant.
No, quite genuinely, I find it very relaxing to imagine that.
To imagine your head being lopped off.
Not lopped off, no, that doesn't do anything for me. Wait, it's really got to pop off like a cork.
Wait, what's the difference between lopping and popping.
Well, lopping and chopping. There's no, yeah. That I'm. Oh, that's actually quite unpleasant. But, now that I'm thinking about it.
But is that just a blade going by?
Yeah. So let's and the head sort of flopping down like that. No, there's nothing fun about that at all.
But let's say like a drive.
Really relax. I need my head to be constricted until, you know, it does, you know, it's just, it pops off.
So let's say, with the chain, right? If it, let's say you were standing on the side of the road and, well, in the sort of like a, in near a, like a truck way station or something like that, and two trucks going opposite directions, with chains attached to them. Make your head pop off like that, right? That makes you feel good. But if you were standing close to the freeway and a car goes by and there's a drive-by samurai in there who's just takes out his blade and it passes through your neck without you really noticing because that's how much speed is going through it and your head just kind of then falls off, that is unpleasant to you?
That's awful. I actually really don't like thinking about that.
Well, now you could just not have to stop thinking about it. You could just picture your head popping off.
I'm going to have to. Anyway, I'd love to hear if any listeners use the same strategies.
I told you once about, maybe I said this on pod, but I knew some people who said that they picture their head being crushed by a tank in order to fall asleep.
Right.
And they just picture laying down and having a tank's like tracks roll over their head and their head just popping as a way to help them fall asleep.
I hate that one. Yeah. I really hate that one.
It's yeah. Well, I don't like any of them actually. See, I picture being dead and then I find that mostly unpleasant.
Right. But you still do it.
I do it, but because it's like it doesn't involve me dying. It just pictures me trying to picture what it's like to not be experiencing anything and just experiencing complete death.
And so, look, I have tried to contemplate nothingness, which I think is a similar kind of challenge, and I haven't got very far. I find that disconcerting just because I can't do it. You know, pushing your mind to that place is feels like a real strain.
See, I think I achieve it too easily.
Okay.
Yeah, and then I have to be reminded that I'm alive.
Yeah.
I have to go, oh, great. You know, because I think I kind of am constantly projecting forward, like, you know, I don't know, when am I going to die? Sort of 15 years? And then just picturing actually being dead and then not experiencing anything. But then at the same time, picturing my family going on without me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what do you picture about them? Do you picture them being happy or sad?
Well, no, I picture them being sad, kind of being, you know, like, I mean, not the whole time.
Yeah.
But, you know, I assume that they have to carry around a sadness within them.
Yeah, geez.
What do you think is the sketch in all this?
I mean, what I think, you know, it's interesting to think that in the future we might be able to be decapitated recreationally, you know?
Yeah.
The medical science will be at the point where being decapitated will just be another luxury that the rich have access to.
And that the rest of us...
Because of the quality of their healthcare. But the rest of us, you know, don't get that.
Sure.
And I can picture that becoming almost a social justice issue. Without people out in the streets chanting, off with our heads, you know, the rabble, getting upset about, you know, their right to have their own heads cut off.
Yeah.
It could actually have incredible therapeutic benefits that we don't know about.
Sure. I mean, I guess it'd be nice to be able to just try it with a toe or a heel or something like that. Imagine that just getting your heel
I don't think
off.
That would give you anything. I don't think that would give you
So you're just looking for getting your head cut off.
Yeah, I think so. And then, you know, and then they'll put it back on again, obviously.
Wait. How do you know having your toe cut off is not going to do anything? It might be hugely freeing.
Yeah, okay, like, all right.
You go, oh, yeah. I didn't realize how much tension I was holding in that toe.
But were you suggesting that, Alistair, that having your toe cut off is a form of decapitation?
Yeah.
Because your head is removed from your toe?
I don't think decapitation means getting your head removed.
I think that is exactly what it means. I think the cap component in decapitation means head. So,
oh right, it is. Yeah. I just assumed that decapitation was just bits being cut off. I've never seen
that's
it.
Amputation.
Well, that in a medical sense it is, yeah.
And I think in other senses.
Well, so is decapitation. But it's also amputation.
Yeah. Sure.
I got to pee really bad, so you keep going for a sec.
Yeah, okay. I'll keep going down. There's a rich vein that we've discovered here, Alistair. But I think that if you are able to offer, you know, it'd be like flatliners, right? You know, where they stop people's hearts and then they bring them back from the dead. Let's do a version of flatliners with, I just thought of a film called Bin Liners. Now, I don't know exactly what that is. But in some way, it's a parody of flatliners. Leave it with me, and I'll see if I can flesh that out. Or send in a message if you've thought of an idea of what the concept of the movie Bin Liners could be that would make it a parody of flatliners. But a movie in which you can get your head cut off, right, and then put back on again, I imagine it gives you a real rush, you know? And imagine that. Oh, the feeling of having, maybe your brain is still slightly conscious like that. As, you know, your eyes are propped open, as your head is taken away, right? And I imagine the intensity of the rush is proportional to how far away from your body that your head can get, right? And, you know, being able to have that out-of-body experience or at least off-body experience where you see your own body from across the room. Oh, as they go further and further away, that tension. Oh, they're not going to get it back in time, right? But then they rush it back over and they stitch it back on. But, I mean, what a thrill.
Oh, look. Oh, no, wait, forget it. That was just LOP. I still had LOP open.
I think I think that's a sketch idea, Alistair.
Well, I've written down recreational decapitation.
Oh, lovely.
Have you already done three words from a listener?
No, I haven't.
Okay. Well, that's good. Well, then we're up to three words from a listener. Now, I don't know if you know, Andy, we have listeners. And luckily, not long before recording this episode, John Dooley sent me three words from
John
a listener.
John Dooley.
And I think it was from him.
Yes. Good choice, John.
Do you want to try and guess what JD sent in as the three words?
Yeah, I do. Okay, so the first word is dream catcher.
No. There's hardly any. Yeah, no, hardly any words, but maybe one vowel. It's hang.
Tang.
Hang.
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 Oh, okay.
Yeah.
What about paragon? Is the second word paragon?
No. No, it's down.
Hang down. Is this about hang down your head, John Dooley? So, I mean, the next word could either be your or it could be head. It's probably head. Hang down, head.
All right, you ready?
Yeah.
It is head. You did it.
Isn't it amazing that we've done a large proportion of the episode already about sort of being hung by your head? In that scenario, the head goes up because it pops off like a cork.
That's right. But, you know, something hangs down.
Hmm. That's true.
It could be the a body. New sentence. You know, you're hanging down momentarily while the chains sort of tighten around your neck. The rest of your, you know, like that. And then head. Look at that. That's kind of what you say. And not you, but somebody else, when they see it pop off, they go, head. Like that.
Now, we've already talked on the podcast, I believe, about different forms of, you know, we've talked about, you know, how people might asphyxiate themselves a little bit to increase the pleasure of sexual things.
Yeah.
And I think we talked already about using that asphyxiation to increase the pleasure of other things, like a nice meal with your family or a walk in the sunshine.
Yeah.
Or a a business promotion, you know, getting a promotion at work. Your boss calls you into your office. He says, "I've got some good news," and you say, "Look, do you mind if I choke myself a little bit?"
That's right. Yeah.
So that to increase the pleasure of this good news,
you say, or you get down on one knee, and you go, you get down on one knee in front of your beloved. And then you start choking yourself. You go, "Will you marry me?" Like that. And then she goes, "I will." Like that. She chokes herself as well. And they go, "Oh my God." And then they hug and cry together whilst going, "Oh, yeah. Oh, I love you. I love you." Well, you don't like that?
Is that why businessmen wear ties so that they can kill themselves at any time?
I suppose you could just have
a noose around the neck there.
I suppose it seems like it would be very simple if you just had like a tie clip that was built into the wall where you could just put your tie into it and then sort of remove your legs, the bottom bit of your legs, just take them out from below you. And then you could just dangle there, and I guess you could end it.
Yeah. No, there you go. That's interesting. Hang down your. It's interesting that they decided to do when they hang people, that they decided to do it around the neck. Because, I mean, really, they could have done it
from any bit,
I guess,
from the hair.
From any bit. Yeah, the hair. What about just around the middle of the face?
They could have used like one of those sort of claws, like you know, that you use to pick up toys in a sort of a skill tester thing, and just around the side of the head.
Yeah, yeah. They could have put the noose under the arms.
That's true. Yeah.
Isn't that interesting though? That like if you put the noose under the arms, that becomes just what they do to airlift someone to safety.
Yeah. To keep you safe. Wouldn't that have been better if instead of hanging people who had done bad things, they realize, oh, this person needs to be kept safe away from themselves and away from others.
Yeah. They would airlift them to safety.
Yeah, maybe to like the side of a cliff or something like that where they could see a nest of, you know, eagles or something like that kind of be raised from chicks up to, you know, adulthood, and maybe somehow that would change them.
I mean, is there a sort of a dark version of the those air helicopter rescue people who are the helicopter executioners who, you know, if a criminal is stuck on a ledge somewhere or is maybe hiding on a ledge somewhere, they fly and they put a noose around their neck and they hang them. Instead of helicoptering them away to safety, they helicopter them away to their own doom. Is this a sketch idea, do you think, Alistair?
I think there's probably something more where the noose is under the arms and we do something, you know, it's like
yeah.
It's like old school social justice.
Yeah, sure.
Maybe not.
I think a scene in a movie, you know, like a Western where the guy is there, he's about to get hung, right? But the hangman puts the noose around the neck, but then keeps pulling it a bit open, pulling it down further, loops it around under the arms, gives it a pull, little tug, and then we see through a hole in the roof opens up, and we see that the rope is attached to a helicopter.
Yeah,
they got helicopters in the Old West, or possibly just like it's looped over something. And there's a horse outside pulling it.
I wonder if they just lift him off.
Executioner.
They lift him off the ground so he can't touch the ground.
Mm.
And then they lift him up, and then they just dangle. And he goes, "Now you think about what you've done."
Yeah, that's really good.
Yeah.
Because you know what's great about this is that since we stopped capital punishment and hanging people, all of that, you know, that institutional knowledge of the executioners, the hang people, all the skills of tying those nooses and building those gallows, all that's just gone to waste, right? And that's an industry, you know, like the coal industry. The coal industry is also killing people, but we don't want people in that industry to lose jobs. Oh, but we were happy for the people in the executioner's industry to lose their jobs?
Yeah, it's sad.
Well, really, we should have helped them transition and keep those skills alive by using the same techniques of hanging, but just for more mild punishment, like hanging people up under their arms, off the ground, to let them think about what they've done. You know, less of the, you will be taken from this place and hung by your neck until you are dead, and more of the, you'll be taken from this place and hung sort of on a rope just around under your armpits until you are sorry.
That's right. Until you've really thought about what you've done.
Mm. So there you go.
Thank you.
John Dooley.
John Dooley,
thank you very much.
Thanking you. Have I ever told you the idea that I had where it's like any time a dictator does something bad or like is about to do something real bad, you know, like we just make it illegal for dictators to declare war and stuff, right? And start wars or whatever. And then they get taken and they get put in a nuclear sub that travels the world, right? And they've got resources to survive there, but they're just kept away from everybody else. And the only way to get to it is just another sub that goes to that sub and they somehow dock. And then so then there's just all these dictators that just all live on the one nuclear sub.
And they're all in the same one.
They're all in the same one. And then they just have to learn to live together, just dictators.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, I think it'd be fun. Can we watch them on a TV show?
Yeah, it's also Big Brother. That's how you pay for the whole thing.
Yeah,
that's pay for the uranium and everything and the, you know, renting the subs from the Americans. Of course, the Americans are running the program.
Mm. This could be part of our despot and dateless extended universe, which I'm still really passionate about making that dating show happen.
Yeah, great. I think that's really good.
Where we use prosthetics to make the people dating look like
despots, people who've killed lots of
despots.
People.
Yeah.
I'm desperate to do this. I'm desperate to have my career ended. I am absolutely aching for this to all be done. Okay, well, so I better run just through the sketch ideas. All right, we got the Forbes
real quick.
Self-made tall list and Forbes wetness or Forbes wet. And these are all about other self-made people or, you know, other people, you know, most wet man, that kind of thing. Forbes wettest men list, wettest people, wettest Australians. Each country will have its own one. It'll be forbes.wet.au. Anyway, and then we got reverse scuba mask for drowning on land. Then we got the snorkel suit to snorkel the Louvre and other land-based attractions. We got the man version of Marilyn Monroe.
Clearly writing down snorkel suit instead of my very good pushing him around in a glass bathtub.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Well, I know, but the reason why is because the snorkel suit, if you're just in that, you can sort of be walking around and doing this snorkeling motion with your arms. And I think that's funnier.
Yeah. Okay.
But you can change history later on, but you know,
I will.
The victors write the history or whatever that saying is.
Mm.
And then we got a man version of Marilyn Monroe great thing, but with fire or acid.
Mm-hmm.
Look at that, Andy. Nobody wrote down big fire hose or anything like that. Eh? Oh,
thanks, Al.
Gosh.
Thanks, Al.
Gosh. Boy, I am merciful. Then we got
cool.
recreational decapitation, and then we got executioner, but puts Loop under the arms and lifts them up and says, now you can think about what you've done.
Really good.
Also, thank you very much for
George
listening.
George told me that last episode I didn't change the rhythm.
I know. I was about to tell you exactly the same thing. That Andy, but then he also said, I said, oh yeah, maybe my brain was fucking up. But then he said, but Andy's timing was all over the place.
Well, hang on.
So I don't know. You didn't change the rhythm any more than you do from beat to beat. I guess it was within Andy's sort of standard deviation.
Within each beat, it was still on rhythm. It was only when you look at them as a whole that, you know, there's a problem.
Yeah. So there you go. Thank you for listening to the Tuna Think Tank. We love that. You can find the pop test. You could find any other thing that we've ever done online somewhere.
Can I plug Gustav and Henry?
Oh, yeah.
The book that I've written with Pete. If you can't find it in any of the standard places, it's sold out on Amazon really quickly because they only had a very few copies. I'm only learning now how Amazon works. But if you can't find it there, please try and find it in a regular bookshop or online somewhere else. Thank you. If you have a young person in your life, anywhere at all.
It's a kid's
book. Or even if you just walk past them sometimes, it's a kid's book, Gustav and Henry. It's a fun adventure story, and I think they might like it.
Thank you very much for listening, and
we
love
you.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.